Austin, Texas. I'm going down to save my soul. Get that barbecue and chili. Eat my fill and come back home. I'm going to take my baby with me.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with the ever fabulous Linda Perkins. Good morning. You have your apron on.
I have my apron on, or as we call it today, my sled liner. Oh, it was kind of an adventure getting here this morning.
You know, when I this is the second day that my little toy car has not been able to make it up this steep driveway to KMUN. And yesterday when I came in, I parked below and walked up our very steep driveway, which was unnecessarily exciting. And then even more exciting was walking back down, which I managed to do, taking a very long time, but not executing like a grand jeté or anything on the way down. But geez Louise.
Well, and then the problem is a problem we just never have here in Astoria. It's the snowbank at the bottom of the driveway from the snowplows. And when do we even have snowplows here, you know?
Who's doing that?
Oh, very shocking. The trees in my yard, it was so funny. I mean, it just snowed and snowed and snowed. And then, you know, it would rain and snow and rain and snow. And it was so heavy and there's so much of it. The tree branches in my yard had just never experienced that. And so they were just cracking off like every 5 minutes. It was really something. And the dogs were apoplectic. Oh, Lord.
Well, we've had about enough excitement now. And I'm kind of really, you know, very seldom am I happy to see slush, but I'm kind of okay with it this morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm wondering what you're cooking, because you know what? This is a perfect cooking day.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know why we have power. So many people don't, but we did. I did a biscuit experiment recently that I think was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So I like biscuits.
Yeah.
But somebody online was saying that you should add an egg to your biscuit. Now, one thing that defines biscuits is they don't have eggs, right?
Right. You're talking about like baking powder biscuits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it's sort of like when you read recipes for shortbread and they have an egg in them and you're like, well, then that's not shortbread.
Yeah,
but
right.
It was one of those places that, you know, does pretty extensive experiments and they had a pretty good case for it. So I did, and it was good. And I got to thinking, you know, the difference. Oh, look, Marianne is giving me this shocked look like, you liar, pants on fire.
No, I'm not. I'm just surprised that I didn't expect you to say how great it was.
I know. Okay, because think about the difference between a scone and a muffin. It's pretty much an egg, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's true.
That's
and
right.
So I like, so this is like totally a personal preference thing, but I like muffins better than scones. I like them both, but I like muffins better. They're moister. And there's just, I mean, I know that scones are dry and they're supposed to be, and so are biscuits, but there's just that kind of chalky thing that I just don't enjoy as much as when it's not chalky. And so it was like that, how a scone is to a muffin, this biscuit with an egg in it was to a biscuit without an egg.
Okay.
And it browned just fine, and it was actually fluffier. Anyway, so that was an experiment that I did that
and it's a regular recipe for baking powder biscuits with adding one egg.
Yeah, just add an egg.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to do it. Although I'm not down with your whole scone thing.
I know you love scones.
I like them when
too.
They're really crispy around the edge. So I like dropped scones better than the rolled triangle kind, which I agree are very, I think that you actually have to have like a cup of tea with milk and sugar in it like they do in Great Britain to be able to thoroughly enjoy it. But a drop scone with crispy edges, man.
Well, and then, and let me say, if they are hot and fresh, so I like biscuits and scones better than muffins. And what should we call the egg biscuit? Gibiscuit? Gisket? I don't know what you would call it. But when they are hot and fresh, I mean, nothing beats them.
No, I know. Honey and butter?
Yeah.
Yikes.
But if it's the next day...
Although, the next day you can slice them in half and toast them with butter on top, and that's pretty good. Or, you know, my standard default, which is like grill it and then put an egg on top.
I was so afraid you were going to say deep fry. What?
I you know what, I love a lot of deep fried stuff, but I am so loath to clean up the mess that I don't ever do it at
and
home.
And I hate how
I
the
never
kitchen
do it.
Smells. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and my kitchen is in my living room, so really I am stuck with everybody at my house is stuck with whatever we cooked last. Yeah. So,
What have you been doing?
Well, yesterday I had the big cook day. We do Sunday supper one Sunday a month at the North Coast Food Web.
That is the coolest thing.
And that's just a community cook. It's not a class. It's just where we get together as many people as want to or can fit. And we cook four entrees together all as a team. And then everybody goes home with dinner entrees for four different nights or days for however many people they feed at their home. So yesterday we made bacon mac and cheese. I know. We do a lot of casseroles because they freeze so well and they reheat so well. So we did bacon mac and cheese. We did shepherd's pie. We did a really wonderful cheesy veggie bake out of a fabulous cookbook called Good and Cheap.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but it was a master's thesis for a young woman who then put it on the internet, and it's available to everyone free. And we actually teach Good and Cheap cooking classes out of that book because the recipes are great. And that's where the veggie bake came from. And then we also did, what was the fourth thing?
I think you said four things.
Did I? Yeah, veggie bake, bacon, mac and cheese, shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
Oh, and King Ranch chicken.
Oh, you didn't say all four. Okay.
Yeah. So so that's what I've been cooking because we cooked a lot of food yesterday.
At that thing, do you cook them so that they're all cooked or do you just send them home prepped and then you cook it at home?
Well, we do half and half because we want to sit down and eat together.
Oh, okay.
So we can either decide or I can arbitrarily decide what ones we're going to bake off and then send home ready to just reheat. And and that's what we're going to sit down and eat. We make a salad and have a meal together at the end. And then they pack up stuff and that's what you put in your fridge and just reheat later.
Okay.
And then we put a couple more things together that are ready to cook when you're ready. So you could put them in the freezer.
Okay.
So it works out pretty nice because then you have that emergency really good food for a night when you just don't feel like it.
Yeah. And it's so often, more often that than an emergency. Man, I just don't want to cook and I don't want to.
I'm just
family
tired.
White bread. Here, have a piece. Are you still hungry?
Well,
that last time we were together, we were talking with Dulcie about that Slumgullion.
Yes.
And it turns out I am the only person in the world that doesn't know that word.
Oh. She was threatening. She was at the, she cooked food with us yesterday and she was threatening to turn everything into Slumgullion.
Put it all in one container.
Well, and actually she did double up in ways that we were going, you are not, but she did. So, yes. And so what about you? You learned what it was. We talked about what it was.
Yes, yes. And I learned also that Moe's has it on their menu. Somebody told me that. Did you know that?
No.
The Moe's, the tourist chowder place. Yeah, they have it on their menu, somebody told me. And I was so surprised. But she said she thought it was clam chowder with some stuff mixed in.
Oh, well, you know, we looked up the the actual definition of it last time on Food Talk, and it was really a
slime.
It had nothing to do with clams.
No.
But on the other hand, it is sort of a whole bunch of stuff put together in a stew-like concoction. So maybe you could use that term to describe any kind of
pretty
combination.
Pretty much anything. Sort of like casserole.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it applies to so many different things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's a cool word, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It is. Hey, you were talking about, before we went on the air, about some spring rolls. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and not just spring rolls, salad rolls. Do you know those, like, sometimes they're Thai, sometimes they're Vietnamese, those ones that are wrapped, and it's a wrapper that's either made out of, like, rice or tapioca, but it's not deep fried, and it's that pliable wrapper.
Yes.
And then usually you dip them in, like, peanut sauce or red
and you can see through them to see all the fabulous things inside.
Yeah. I think that there's something that are really good to know how to make, and that it, but it's one of those things that it's not obvious how you make it. Like mashed potatoes, pretty much a no-brainer, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Salad rolls.
Although I gotta say really quickly, speaking of adding an egg, the recipe for the mashed potatoes for the top of the shepherd's pie we made yesterday added an egg yolk to the mashed potatoes.
Never heard of it.
Well, they were pretty okay, I'm telling you.
Really? So what did it do?
Well, it makes them a fabulous color and okay. just a little bit richer.
Okay.
You know, I mean, how could you go wrong? It's already butter and cream. Yeah. And then you add an egg yolk. It's like, yay.
Well, I guess
that's sort of like a la mode.
Kind of like doing a custard with the potatoes. Yeah. So it's kind of quicheing it up.
Yeah. Okay. Yummy. And then it gets baked off and maybe, you know, makes a better consistency for baking off. Anyway, back to salad rolls.
Okay. So salad rolls are interesting. And the two things that you might not, that people might not know how, what to, you know, the weird ingredients are the actual wrapper. And they are hard and brittle. And they come in like a frisbee looking container. And so you pull them out. And how I do it is that's your base and you need them to be pliable. And how you do that is what I do is I'm just sitting at the table and I've got all my chopped up ingredients but I that I'm going to put in the salad roll. But I have a big bowl of warm water and I take the frisbee looking thing.
Yeah.
And I dip it in the water and then I turn it over and I dip it again. And then I have paper towels that are wet, but they're not like dripping wet. And I have one spread out and I put the wrapper on that. And then I put another wet paper towel on top of that. And then it will get pliable. So because I know like how fast I can go, what I do is I pile up three of them. So it's towel, wrapper, towel, wrapper, towel, wrapper, towel. And then because I dipped the first one in the water first and it's going to be pliable first, it takes maybe a minute for it to get pliable. Then I flip that pile over and that's okay just because I've got the one that's the most pliable on the bottom. And then I take the paper towel away and that's my work surface. I've got the other two under there, but they're just fine. And so the other thing that isn't super obvious are the bean thread noodles. They're usually made out of mung beans, but they're just very, very thin noodles in the Asian section of grocery stores in town. And they are dried, and you have to either soak them in hot water. It works to boil them. But each one is different. Like, there's one brand in town that it takes a minute and a half, and there's another brand in town that takes 13 minutes. And so you just have to keep trying them because the instructions are in, you know, Mandarin, which I do not read.
Well, are those also sometimes called glass noodles?
Yes.
Because they come out, they're beautiful.
They're the ones that you can deep fry, and in 20 seconds, they puff up into something like 10, 20 times their normal size, and you can use
them. They're mad about the treatment.
Yeah. And you can use them as a garnish on, you know, like a Chinese chicken salad.
Yeah, yum. Like
that. But anyway.
Well, all right, I'm going to take a second and remind everybody what they're listening to, and then we're going to continue chapter two of Salad Rolls. So you are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN, 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB, 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming live and planet-wide at coastradio.org and on your mobile using TuneIn. We are everywhere all the time. There's no excuse. That's all I'm saying. So talking with Linda Perkins this morning on Food Talk about salad rolls.
Yeah. So I drained the glass noodles, the mung bean noodles, and I put them in a paper towel so that there's really as little moisture as possible, because the thing that kills the salad roll is moisture, because if it's really soggy on the inside, then the wrapper continues to get soggy and then it just falls apart. So I know that when I make them, I always think to myself, okay, do I have my nine things? Because there's nine things I use. So I have the wrappers and the glass noodles, and then I julienne carrots. I sometimes just parboil them a little tiny bit, but you don't have to. I julienne carrots and cucumbers, and I put the cucumbers on a paper towel and I squeeze them so that they don't, you know.
Do you seed them?
Yes. Yeah. So scoop out the seeds because it's just, I don't know. It's
more
also
water.
A really wet part. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I have lettuce, or sometimes I use spinach. And then I have fresh basil, fresh cilantro, and scallions. And am I forgetting anything? Did I do nine?
Oh, gosh, I didn't count.
Well, let's pretend I did.
Yeah, let's do. But you can put like shrimp or something in
if
you want.
Oh, yes, that's the protein, yes. So shrimp or like that Chinese barbecued pork works really good.
Ooh.
Or if you just marinate some tofu in some hoisin sauce or just pretty much anything.
That's Hoisin with an H, not a P.
Yes, yes. That's for our canning recipe or a canning show. But and then just put them in there. You flip up the bottom, fold over the two sides, you know, kind of like you were trying to make a little envelope, and then just roll it up. And then when you put them on your tray, they can't touch because they'll stick to each other. But I was someplace once at a party, and do you know Marianne Merck?
Yes.
She's such a good cook, and she's a good baker, too.
I did not know that about her, though.
Oh, no, she is, really. I'm not making it up. I have great admiration for her skills on both fronts. So she made some salad rolls, and they were better than mine. And so I had a conversation with her recently because, see, my salad rolls, they have all that stuff in them, and certainly the scallions and the cilantro and the basil are delicious, but I rely on the sauce. I use a peanut sauce, a hot peanut sauce, for the flavor. But hers, you don't need any sauce. And I have never successfully done that because if I put sauce in there, then it bleeds through to the wrapper, and then the whole thing disintegrates. Well, she clearly made them ahead of time, brought them to the party. People didn't need them right away, and they were just fine. So I asked her what she does, and what she does is she takes the glass noodles, and then she tosses them with sriracha, which is, you know, very strong flavored, and sesame oil, which is very strong flavored. And my point with that is just that you wouldn't need a lot, so you're not like me. I was just like glopping sauce in there, and then it was seeping out and making like the ugliest, horriblest thing ever. And then a little bit of soy sauce. And so those three strong flavored things, she tosses her noodles with that.
Oh, and they soak it right up.
Yes, and it's better than mine. It's really good how she does it. I haven't done it her way yet, but it's really, really good. I've had them, and it's good. So
good.
What do you
know.
Put in yours?
Well, all of those things, but like you, I usually just use a peanut dipping sauce on the side.
Yeah.
And frankly, I have never had them in any kind of a Asian restaurant where they were flavored on their own.
Yeah.
I mean, they are flavored with all of the fresh ingredients inside.
They're always like how we make them, not how Marianne does, but it's better how Marianne makes it. And still, it'd be good with sauce, but you don't have to have it for a party. So, like, if they were finger food, you know, how are you going to give people the sauce?
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So, it was just really, really good. So, when I make a peanut sauce, what I do is I have just a little teeny tiny saucepan, and I figure out about how much sauce I want, and I half that amount. So if I wanted a cup, I'd put half a cup of peanut butter and half a cup of coconut milk, and then I just warm that up, and then I just add stuff. I always put garlic and ginger in there, chopped up, and then I usually add hoisin, and then sambal olive.
Yeah,
that it's just a chili paste that I really like, and then maybe a little soy sauce, and that's pretty much it.
Are you using crunchy peanut butter or creamy?
Either one, whatever I have, because it doesn't matter to me. And then if you have peanuts, you can chop them up and put it on top. How do you do a peanut sauce?
That's essentially peanut sauce there.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of how much of each of those things your own personal taste likes.
Exactly,
you know, I mean, the peanut butter is half.
Yeah.
And then everything else together in whatever combination you like.
Some people just use water instead of coconut milk, and if you don't have it on hand, that's just fine.
Yeah, and I have used sriracha. I've used a variety of different kinds of ways to make it spicy.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes I have hoisin, and sometimes I don't. And you know, it all comes down to being able to use what you have.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because worst case scenario is you're halfway through a recipe and you realize you got to run to the store. That's the worst case, and that's happened to everybody because we haven't read the recipe ahead
of time.
Yeah,
and so many Asian things, if you don't have a thing, if you went to the store to get them all, it would be prohibitive. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you may need to buy a big old jar of something that you're only going to need a tablespoon of. So if you have something that'll work or you know, be adventurous. So I have a question about sesame oil, because even a small bottle of sesame oil, if you don't have occasion to use it very often, it will go rancid. Sitting, you know, I have a tray of oil on the same counter where my stovetop is, not right next to the stove, but still it's not refrigerated like I would do with nut oils.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about refrigerating sesame oil. It is sort of, it's a seed oil.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like pretty much anything you refrigerate lasts longer than if you don't.
Yeah. So you just have to pull it out in time to...
It
may solidify.
Yeah, and I don't even know that.
I don't know that either.
But that's a good idea.
Yeah. That would be a way to hang on to it because I really like it, but it's not like olive oil or vegetable oil where I'm using it almost daily and it doesn't, you know, I can go through a jar easily, a bottle easily before.
Well, and it's so strong flavor to use so little every time you use it. Right. You don't do the glug, glug, glug.
It's so good though. Yeah. But maybe the other thing is I'm probably just not doing enough stir fries.
No.
That's it's probably so it.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking because we put ginger in the peanut sauce. So I was watching some cooking show on TV once, and it was Indian cooking, and the woman said she didn't peel her ginger. Well, I mean, I would give my right arm not to have to peel ginger. Lord, what a process. So, and I mean, I know people do it like with a grapefruit spoon, and that's fine, but she said that it doesn't matter, and you just wash your ginger. And like, you know how sometimes ginger has those, like, you know, kind of like armpits.
Yeah.
And so just break it apart and get the armpit good and washed. And then just slice it up and use it. And I've done that. And I cannot tell the difference.
And I've heard that from more than one television cook.
Okay.
To not bother to peel your ginger. So I think I think we should all just stop peeling our ginger.
Well, it is such a time saver. And so there's several things that I always keep in the freezer, but one is ginger.
Yeah.
And I do it exactly the same way as I do garlic. So ginger, you know, you can just put a big knob of it in the freezer and then, you know, get out your microplane grater and grate it as you use it.
And it grates so much better when it's frozen than it does when it's fresh.
Yeah, it
so much
just
better.
Turn to mush.
Yeah.
But what I typically do is I'll go to the store and I buy about 3 pounds of ginger and then I wash it up real good and I cut it into like, you know, 1 inch, 2 inch, not, you know, pieces and I stick it in the food processor and I just grind it up until it is what I would consider a fine mince. And then I put it in several, like I don't like load a freezer quart bag full of it because I want it quite flat because then when I want to use ginger, I just snap off a little frozen piece and stick the rest of the frozen stuff in the freezer. And I do exactly the same thing with garlic. I buy a 3 pound, you know, tub of it, jar of it, peeled already. I just stick it in the food processor, grind it up till it's a fine mince. It's not a paste, but it's not giant chunks. And then make it quite flat in several freezer quart bags and then just break it off as I use it. And that
what a great idea.
It's such a time saver.
Oh, yeah.
I know I've talked about the garlic before, but man, both of those together, it just makes me so much more likely to make some kind of Asian food because the cleanup, you know, especially from garlic, is a little daunting sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's just if you wash it by hand, you don't get the smell out. If you put it in the dishwasher, everything smells like garlic. So
yeah. Yep. That's a really great idea. I love that idea. I think that the chopping onions and garlic are two of the most labor-intensive prep things. And for if you're cooking at all, the number of times a week that you have to chop garlic and onions.
Yeah, yeah.
And yesterday I was very sneaky and had all of my cooks at North Coast Food Pub because I had like 7 fabulous cooks in the kitchen. I had them chop so many more onions than we really needed because now I have these big containers of chopped onions to be able to make the soup for the warming center without actually having to chop any onions.
Nice.
So I'm thinking that I know I have seen in freezer sections before chopped onions.
Okay.
And so I'm assuming that we could chop onions and freeze them also.
I don't know.
I've never bought them, so I have no idea how they...
No, I have never tried it. I don't have a solution for onions. I have like the smallest thing that I do, and that is if I just need a little onion, I have the onion, I peel it, I cut it up, and I chop the whole thing, and what's left I have in a bag.
Uh-huh.
And then I have one or part of one onion chopped pretty much all the time. But no, I don't have a solution for onions. I think onions are so big, and because they keep at room temperature, I never wanted to keep them in the freezer because I didn't want to use that freezer space for them. So I think I never even tried to find a solution to onions.
But you know, not all of us have 500 pounds of blackberries in our freezer, and so we have a little room for another baggie of something. Really, Linda?
And one neighbor.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Which reminds me to mention to you that I still have like 2 cases of pie pucks in a freezer at the North Coast Food Web.
Oh, I get them.
I know. Okay. We can make pie.
Okay.
We could have a pie fest.
I was thinking for the next pledge drive.
Oh, what a good idea.
Pidge drive. that didn't work.
I would say stay tuned to Food Talk during Pledge Drive, which is coming up in March. But we might have some serious pie talk between now and then, because I could make up a bunch of pastry and stick it in the freezer, and then we could whip out pies. I did give away pies, apple pies, on a previous Pledge Drive, and only about half of those people have actually claimed their pie.
What? So, there's free pie here, you say?
And I was there for a while. I was sending out reminders. Don't forget your pie. Don't forget your pie. And I know that one person I mentioned, there is no statute of limitations on claiming your pie, which is true. But I'm about ready to say to the people who have not claimed their pie, the ball is now in your court. If you want pie, you have to let me know.
Yeah.
That's right. But I do like being able to give people a pie.
Yay.
Yeah. We could probably make some pie for the volunteers to eat for the buffet table here.
Yeah. Pledge pie.
Well, we'll come up with a plan. I still have a few blackberries in our freezer at North Coast Food Web, although I'm not really inclined to give those back to you.
No, you don't have to. They're for you.
There's not a lot. There's practically none by your standards. Hey, we have a call from Charlotte in Napa, who says that she freezes green and yellow onions.
Really?
She says, great show. But so there we go. We know from Charlotte, thank you so much, that we can actually prep onions ahead of time. And for, I'm with you at home, I wouldn't need to prep a ton of onions, and I don't actually mind cutting an onion, but for making a soup for 40 people three times a week, having that mirepoix, the... Yep. Carrots, onions, ready and celery go. All ready to just dump in the stock pot and sear off would be great.
Well, and because when you cook something, you denature it just like the freezer does. It just wouldn't know. Now, the only thing, I don't like how celery freezes.
I've never even tried.
Oh, there's two things I really do not like frozen. One is cilantro.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, well, I guess parsley too.
Yeah.
And then celery. It just... doesn't work.
Yeah.
It tastes nothing like celery. It tastes like water and fiber.
Well, and we don't have to resent prepping. I don't resent celery in the same way I have resented ginger, because you don't have to peel it. You don't have to. All you do is wash it and chop it. It's easy.
Yeah, and you don't
need
the mass of it that you do the other things.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, we know, Charlotte. Has filled in the gap.
You know what? That means I think that our fan base is up to 6 now.
What?
Well, there's the guy that doesn't like fruitcake, and there's the lady who likes fruitcake. There's the guy that doesn't like curry. There's the lady that wants to know about ice cream. There is the lady who freezes her onions. And then I actually got a note from somebody in Sweden that they listened to the show. Now, I could make that sound exactly like that, but to be fair, she's a college friend looking for my address on the internet, and she saw the show. But I think it counts, right?
Yeah, well, it counts if she's listening. We need her to send us a good recipe from Sweden, something...
Oh, no, there aren't good recipes from Sweden. I'm so sorry.
What about the meatballs?
Oh, no, do you know that... No, well, I don't know if that's something that's if they're kind of even like French sweet. Fries. Yeah, I mean, if it's like an American thing. But I mean, the big thing there is, you know, like oily fish like sardines with a cream sauce. Ooh, sorry for making that noise on the radio.
I love whole sorts. Big sardines.
In a cream sauce?
No. I'm not crazy about hardly anything in a cream sauce, except for scalloped potatoes, which I can eat all day.
I'm not super happy about the actual food in Sweden, and I'm so sorry that I'm not, because I know I'm in a Scandinavian place.
Yeah, you better be careful. You just reduced
now
our fan base
is 5.
Linda, it's really been a treat talking to you. Can't wait to see you again in 2 weeks on Food Talk. It is less than a minute before 10 o'clock. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Joanne Rideout is in this morning to bring you Lost Highways. So stay tuned to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. Have a great day. Be careful, would you?